David Ebal is titled, Who is Boss?
The title of tonight's message is The Tale of Five Cities. Are there five cities listed there? Galatia, Antioch, Corinth, Caesarea, and Jerusalem. How many have heard of the tale of two cities? I'm going to do them three better. It's ready for the tale of five cities. Turn with me first in your Bibles Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now this is Paul speaking, and in Galatians chapter 2 he says, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, went up by revelation, communicating unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Are you following me on this? Do you see where I am? Galatians 2. I'm ready for verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again unto bondage. Everywhere I go, there are false brethren, unawares to me, brought in, who have come in secretly to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, because their purpose is to bring us back to the gospel of the circumcision. I think that Brother Charles told you that Brother Ebal's ministry is controversial. How many already knew that? Some of you did. And the reason it's controversial is because I'm not building a structure. If I was building a structure, I'd tell you what you want to hear. I'm processing students, princes and princesses, to become kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ, those who will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. My goal is to change you from what you are to what you ought to be. Turn to the one next to you and say, you look like you ought to be changed. But you're not going to change unless you make an effort to see something a new way.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Tonight I'm going to try to prove to you through Scripture that every city and every group is autonomous before God, led by the Holy Ghost. Your group is answerable to God only and not some general headquarters in the next state. And most every person here has been taught that one city is over another city, and we take our rules from our Vatican. Some of you are saying, well, I'm Protestant. I don't have a Vatican. Oh, yeah? Your Vatican may not be in Rome. It's probably in Springfield. Amen. Or Cleveland, Tennessee. Going to try to show you what happens when people came from Jerusalem to Galatia. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh a matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that there were two gospels, well, most people only thought there was one gospel. There's the gospel of the circumcision, which was committed unto who?
Peter.
And the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was committed unto Paul. There are two gospels. Next time somebody meets you at the fair, sticks out their hand and says, "Brother, do you believe the gospel?" You say, "Which one?" There are two, is my point made. The gospel of the circumcision is a mixture of law and grace. The gospel of the uncircumcision is pure grace. The gospel of the circumcision says, "Praise God for what Jesus did. Sister, do you cut your hair? Brother, do you eat this? Do you go there?" I mean, understand what I'm saying. And they mix law with grace, called the gospel of the circumcision, which was given to Peter. Then, the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was given to Paul, says, "Praise God for what Jesus did. It has nothing to do with what I do."
Amen.
The gospel of the uncircumcision says, "If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." How many of that's in Galatians? Galatians 5, right? Now, we're not saying that people who are circumcised won't go to heaven. We're saying if you get circumcised to go to heaven, it won't work. Now, that didn't make sense at all. Let me try it another way. In Harrisburg, all the women and ladies who attend our Bible class have been circumcised. Because it's not circumcision of the flesh, it's circumcision of the heart. How many understand that? And we tell you this morning that in heart spirit, we're all what? Masculine or feminine? Masculine. How many caught that? That we're here this morning. The others, I never mind. You know? And it's circumcision of the heart that's the more important thing, not the circumcision of the flesh. Nod your head one way or the other. But to these guys, false brethren who privily came in to spy out our liberty, circumcision of the flesh was the answer. And those Judaizing Christians went around trying to get people, after they've given their heart to Jesus Christ, to also keep Moses' law as well as what Jesus taught. To whom we gave subjection, no, not for an hour. What he means by that is that he listened to them to find out at first what they had to say. Then when he found out what they had to say, he put them down and said, "Shut up. This is my meeting. This is my city. You guys came from Jerusalem. Keep your Jerusalem laws in Jerusalem. We're under Galatian laws." Did anybody see a lead balloon? I'm trying to tell you that every group is autonomous before God, and the Holy Spirit will lead your leaders into whatever laws and rules they are led to, but there is no one who has the right to take their laws to some other city, some other group, and put that group under your rules. Did you get it? Let me try it some more. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, that's Jerusalem, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. What's he saying? Peter brought the gospel of the circumcision. But when Peter was there in Antioch by himself, he ate with the Gentiles.
But when the church board arrived, he withdrew himself, fearing their rules and laws, because he didn't want to be in trouble at Jerusalem for eating in Antioch those things. Are you following this now? Who was the apostle to Galatia? Paul. Who was the apostle to Antioch?
Paul. Paul was the apostle to Antioch, and when Peter came visiting to Antioch, Peter brought Jerusalem rules to a Christian society that was under the gospel of the uncircumcision, but he brought gospel of the circumcision into that group. And Paul withstood him to the face. For he was to be blamed. For you have no right to bring rules from one city to another, and one church to another, and one denomination to another, and one group to another, and put us under your rules.
But I'm a visitor.
So when Davy Bond family arrived, we submitted to the rules that were established here at this place.
Makes sense. I decided to teach from this platform and use that screen because that was the rule. I didn't say, no, I don't like that. I want everybody to turn around and look, and we're going to do it over here.
And whenever you go to anybody's house, you keep the rules of the house you go to, assuming that you're a social creature. But there's always some vociferous person who comes in bringing the gospel of the circumcision, mixing their rules with the grace and truth about what Jesus did, and telling us, oh, praise God for what Jesus did, but brother, sister, you've got to quit this, and you've got to go here, and you've got to quit eating that, and you've got to start wearing this. Now, this is not a history lesson. This is a lesson of what goes on today in our churches. Now, the Holy Ghost treats every group autonomously. Now, what does he mean by that? You're an autonomous group, and that means that you answer to God yourself. There's nobody in another city that's your boss that sends you the rules. And when the Holy Ghost teaches that this group is to do this, that, or the other thing, and the elders agree, then this group is under those rules. When you're with those who can't eat meat, the Bible says don't eat meat. When you're with those who can't drink wine, don't drink wine. When you're those who can't, you know, well, they want to go on Sunday or Saturday or Friday or whatever day turns you on, baby. The Bible says to keep the rules of that group. You understand? But the rules of that group are horizontal rules, not vertical. Horizontal rules are rules among men. Vertical rules are relationship to God. vertical rules are constant everywhere. They're the same throughout all the world. Horizontal rules change according to the city we're in. We are obliged to keep each other's horizontal rules. And I'm keeping your rules. But when you come to Harrisburg, you keep my rules. I'm boss. Don't bring your rules to Harrisburg where I'm boss. Is that clear now? I keep yours when I come to your territory. You keep mine when you come to my territory. Paul said, I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed because he brought his rules to my territory. Are you following it? Then let's find out what happens to these guys as they begin to travel. We've taken Galatia and we found that Paul set the rules for Galatia, anointed by the Holy Ghost, because the people in Galatia needed certain rules for their own development. He went to Antioch and he established rules, but here again, there were Judaizing Christians who came in to change the rules and put them under Jerusalem's rules. In Corinth, Paul went there and later wrote them a letter and said to the Corinthian girls, you girls at Corinth are to shut up. The women are to keep silence in the church. And all the men said, but let's find out what happened at Caesarea. It's in Acts chapter 21, and in Acts chapter 21, Paul now goes to Caesarea, but the amazing thing is that Caesarea is not Paul's territory. I'm going to say that again. Paul is the apostle to Corinth, not Caesarea. The apostle to Caesarea was Philip. How many remember Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, 20 years before? Remember all this? Now, Philip is in charge of Caesarea Maritime, not Paul. And Paul is on a trip. And it says in Acts chapter 21, let's start with verse 7. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Paul told the girls in Corinth to shut up. And Paul went to Caesarea, and the girls spoke up, and Paul shut up. Are you seeing something? The rules at Caesarea Maritime are different than the rules at Corinth. And the rules at Corinth are different than Antioch, and Antioch's different than Jerusalem. But everywhere I travel, I find people nowadays thinking we all ought to have the same rules. And I'm trying to show you that that is not a biblical pattern. Each group receives individually and autonomously from the Holy Ghost, and is responsible to answer to the Holy Spirit to God through the Holy Ghost. All those things that you've been led into keeping. Why would Paul tell the girls at Corinth to shut up? They didn't know anything. They were a bunch of dumb Greeks. No offense. It's just that they didn't know anything about God. They had only been recently introduced to Jesus Christ. How many know what I'm talking about? He got over here to Caesarea Maritime with a bunch of Jews. They knew God. They knew the realm of the Word and the Old Testament and the Scripture and Moses. Are you following this? And so when Philip is up there, Philip's daughters did prophesy. And they did speak up. Because they were under a different apostle with a different set of horizontal rules. Now turn to the one next to you and say, do you understand that? You know why this is important for you to understand? Because you travel and you visit and you go place to place, and every one of you have been asking the question, who's right? Come on, how many have asked the question, who's right? Who's right? I'm trying to show you something. At Caesarea, Philip's right. Because Philip is the apostle to Caesarea. At Antioch, Paul's right, not Peter. But at Jerusalem, who's right? Peter and James. Now, it may surprise you to find out that Peter was not the Pope at Jerusalem, James was. No offense to the Romans. James was the head of the church. How many Bible students know that? James, the brother of Jesus, was the head of the church at Jerusalem. Certain came from James, didn't it just say that? And we didn't pay attention to them in Antioch because they had no right to bring their rules to us at Antioch. Now watch Paul take a trip to Jerusalem and watch Paul go back to the rules of Jerusalem. And this is what happens. Chapter 21, verse 3. Now we discovered Cyprus, we left on the left hand, and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, and there the ship was to be unladen of burden. Finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go to Jerusalem. Was Paul told, through the Spirit, that he should not go to Jerusalem? Nod your head one way or the other, agree or disagree. We're going to have to establish something before we go on. Paul was told to not go to Jerusalem by the Holy Ghost. That's right. In verse 11, verse 10, we tarried there many days, and it came down to Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. When it has come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver them into the hands of the Gentiles. He was told in verse 4 not to go. He was told in verse 11, if you persist, this is what's going to happen. In verse 13, we find answers. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. When I used to read that, I used to say, oh, what wonderful faith. Now when I read it, I say, oh, what rebellion. At one time, I'd read that scripture and I'd say, what great and marvelous faith to go to Jerusalem and die for the Lord. I saw the old lady. Now in the same scripture I see rebellion. I've determined, I've made up my mind, I will not be led of the Spirit, I will be led by my will. I'll do it. Now, for those of you who are upset at this, remember this. Of all the characters in the Bible, Paul was certainly the most aggressive, vociferous, and had more arguments with everybody else. Paul was one of those kind of guys that you couldn't tell much to. He knew all the answers. Lord, forgive me for the way I'm teaching. I must be doing something bad because nobody's getting it. Well, maybe some are. Am I finding fault with Paul? I'm labeling him. He was a great and marvelous apostle of Jesus Christ. But he was not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if I tell Protestants that Peter made a mistake, they all agree. But if I tell Protestants Paul goofed, I had one old lady shake her fist in my face. And she was so mad because she thought I was saying something that was wrong with Jesus. You know, she was defending the faith. I'm not finding fault with Paul. I'm not saying Jesus made any mistakes. I'm saying Paul was a man like the rest of us. And he didn't always do what was right. If you don't remember that, remember that time he was a coat hanger. Don't remember that. Paul was a coat hanger. I didn't say paper hanger. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. You remember all that? Come on now. This is not too hard. Verse 18, the day following, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders were present. Now watch what happens when Paul goes to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Paul, when we had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, they're also zealous of the law. When they said thousands, I used to say, praise God for the mighty power of the gospel. But then I saw it in another light, and I said, uh-oh, they're afraid for the loss of their offerings. Same scripture. I saw in one light, praise God for the power to make these Jews receive Jesus. Same scripture. Thou seest, brother, how many thousands there are. They're zealous of the law. And the next verse says, and they're informed of thee that thou teachest the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. And the same Paul said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now it goes back to the laws of Jerusalem. And circumcision, traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinance. And let's find out how far back Paul goes. And here's why. When you go back, you're obliged to keep the rules of the society that you go to.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.